Relevant content for our members, by our members. This is TMC Connect.
75.
Is that right? Oh, yeah. I'm a 90 degree girl anyway. So 39 this morning was harsh.
Yeah. Too soon.
Like, way too early.
I'm not okay with that.
Me either.
What is it in New Hampshire?
It's about 52 and raining right now.
Oh, yeah, the rain makes it worse. We at least have sunshine. Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining us today for the Last Week in Mortgage today. We've got people rolling in this morning or this afternoon, wherever you are. Still morning, or it's afternoon everywhere, isn't it?
Morning in Hawaii. It's morning.
Except for Hawaii, folks.
Yeah.
Always moving somewhere.
That was a super great way to start the show today, huh? We'll get started here in just a minute. We're going to let people filter in for about another 30 seconds or so. Tell us what your weather is today where you're at in the chat while we're waiting. We are a balmy 39 this morning, high of 50 in Minnesota today, which I'm not enjoying.
What are the chances that there's nobody from New Hampshire in the chat?
Oh, Stacy. Is there anyone else from New Hampshire in the chat?
If there is, I'm buying
one in North Alabama. Angel Duke, I am so jealous.
You're winning so far.
Yeah. All right, we are going to get started today. Again, this is the Last Week in Mortgage today. I'm Faith Howard Mooney of the Mortgage Collaborative. I'm very fortunate today to have two delightful people with me who I enjoy talking to both of them. We always have great conversations. So today should be no different than that. And Femi, you just had somebody shout out to you from Maine. So you're getting pretty close there. Yeah. I will introduce Femi Ai first, who is the EVP of Operations at Revolution Mortgage. Angie called him the master of the universe before y'all hopped on the call today. I think that may apply. And he's also the winner you can see in the background of his photo. He is the winner of our Collaborative Award from the Mortgage Collaborative for this year. So it's right there where he's pointing to. It looks beautiful on your shelf. Thanks for doing this with us today.
Thank you very much for having me. And thank you for shipping that award in a box that it was bigger than my first apartment.
Wanted it to be safe. I wanted it to be safe. The other individual that we have with us today is Mike Cole, and he is the Group VP, Head of National Accounts at MGIC. We are happy to have MGIC sponsoring our session today, Mike. So thanks for doing this with us.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me, Faith.
And because we have people on the call today, there's a little disclaimer that needs to be noted for Mike. Mike, you want to do that so that you
can... Yeah, I'll be brief. Thank you for allowing me this. MGIC basically says that I was not here. Any information that's provided by me during this podcast is for educational purposes only, and any opinions expressed by me during the podcast are solely mine and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of MGIC. So thank you for that.
You are welcome. Well, we thought we would start out this morning by talking about Hispanic Heritage Month. And I found out some things this month that I didn't know either. We'd love it. We always like to hear from people that are on the call with us today. So if your company did specific events or things for Hispanic Heritage Month, pop them in the chat so we know about them and we can kind of give you a shout out about celebrating. September 15th was the kickoff to Hispanic Heritage Month. It starts on the 15th. I thought it was odd that it was mid-month to mid-month because that, you know, we don't normally correlate that the same way. But it coincides, September 15th coincides with the Independence Day celebrations of Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Nicaragua. Because the five all declared their independence from Spain on September 15th of 1821. So a little history lesson for you. Before we get started here, But would love it if, I don't know which one of you want to go first, but would love it, you know, we've got some stats related to how important this population of people is in the United States, as well as to the mortgage industry. So one of you want to hop in and kind of share some of the things that we found?
Sure, I'll jump in. Femi, if you don't mind, I'll just give a couple of stats. Because this segment is growing so rapidly, there's currently 62.6 million Hispanics that live in the United States. And there are statistics that say that Latinos are expected to make up 70% of the homeownership growth over the next 20 years. So that has continued, the segment of the population has continued to grow just generally, but also from a homeownership rate perspective. That has also grown. And as that stat says, we definitely need to be paying attention to this segment. And if you're not doing that today, you're missing a great opportunity to do that. So there are 7.9 million Hispanics that are mortgage ready, and there's 2.8 that are near ready. Just in the last decade, they've formed 628,000 new households. So some would say you maybe have already missed some of the boat. And if you haven't been paying attention to this group, but now is the time. So Femi, I don't know if you want to add a few things.
Sure. Now is definitely the time. I mean, we're on the keep it positive setup, but we're in the mortgage business. So keeping it positive, it's a couple of grains of salt sprinkled on there. We're on here. I mean, just in general, our Hispanic lending is about 20% of the total volume that Revolution Mortgage does. And 72% of that alone comes from Texas, which is crazy. Like this is it's a hotbed. When you say we may or may not have missed the boat on capturing those households, I can tell you the craziest stat. I go through this wonderful document that you pulled out, and then I take all my reports and everything else, and I'm pulling up our information. Our Hispanic lending percentage is actually up 10% year over year. Total business, we're down 13%, and we're a unicorn right now for only being down that much. But the fact that is our Latino percent our Latino capture percentage is just exploding. It's a still growing market. You haven't missed the boat yet. If you're not focusing on that area, make sure you can figure out what you need to do to get into these markets. These people need resources. They need homes. They need mortgages to get the homes. And we've got to be equipped to handle them. So I think it's one of the pieces that's helping keep Revolution kind of charging through this particular market. And we celebrate the month. We celebrate the Latino and Hispanic folks that work with us and that are industry leaders. And I'm excited for this. And after seeing more of this, I'm going to get with our marketing department and say, what the heck are we doing? And how can we capture more of this?
You got a week left. October 15th is the official end of the month. But for anybody Hispanic, celebrating the Hispanic population should not be an end at all. It should just be the beginning. Angel Duke commented that New American Funding has celebrated it in a variety of different ways. Of course, that is Latino focus is a huge initiative in their shop as well. And then, Mike, I thought maybe you would want to ask some of the resources or address some of the resources that MGIC so graciously provide.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Femi kind of threw a softball up to me there with that marketing play. One of the things that we have, I think, done a really good job of over time is provided marketing materials that can be utilized by our customers to get in front of referral sources and referral partners. And all of the materials that we have out on our site are also done in Spanish. So Femi, your marketing department doesn't have to recreate the wheel. They can access the information from MGIC and in a lot of cases, co-brand the information where they can put their information in and utilize that again as a referral source document that they can take out into the marketplace. I think the folks that have been the most successful in gaining access and growing trust with the Hispanic population are those that are getting involved in the communities. I mean, I think that's really what you have to do to make that that work. It is known, a pretty widely known fact, that they don't trust lending institutions. That's not something that they're comfortable with. A lot of them still do the old mattress money way of saving. But I do think if you put the time in and show them that you're trustworthy by continuing to show up, that you can be successful in gaining that trust. So,
absolutely. And for MGIC, it's not just for years we struggled with even just getting a note in Spanish. Your resources are way more than just like a note that's in Spanish and other documentations, checklists, understanding credit information, all types of things that would assist your borrowers in gaining their trust, honestly.
Absolutely. If you go out to MGIC.com, if you look for LO Hub or Loan Officer Hub, that's where you can get access to that information. Again, there's a wealth of info that that a loan officer can get access to that is already there and ready for you. So,
fantastic. That's great. Yeah. You guys are always out in front of everything. Greatly appreciated.
Thank you.
In the industry, for sure. We did, Fahmi mentioned it a little bit earlier. We are trying to keep the show positive, realizing that there's a lot of stuff out there in the world that you probably hear all day long and don't want to hear a lot more of, that kind of maybe taints the mortgage industry the other way. So one of the other things that we thought we would talk a little bit about today is, like, how do you utilize technology in your manufacturing process during this period of time? So, Fahmi, I know you have, Revolution has been a pro at doing some of those things, and I know you have some opinions about that. So I would love for you to hop in and share.
I have opinions? No.
Just a few.
Maybe one or two. There's a lot of stuff that's going on. And if I want to start talking about technology, I want to recognize the market that we're in right now. We're in a downside, and no one knows how long it's going to be. Is it going to last a year? Well, I mean, it's already been more than a year. Is it going to last 2 years? Is it going to last 5 years? Is it going to last seven? We remember what happened in 07 and 08, 09, and just what happened, the numbers of LOs that changed, how many people were in the business once licensing got put into place, and after the major shutdown. Is the question that I'm looking at and that I'm really excited about now is where technology is today compared to where technology was, you know, 15 years ago or so. 15 years ago, we were talking about, can we get off of this paper folder and just mimic the process and put it onto an electronic thing? I remember getting all excited about seeing this company, Cubalt. I'm like, wow, they've got an electronic document. I don't have to lock this thing downstairs or drive it up there. And that's nowhere close to what's going on right now. I mean, people are looking at OCR and data extraction. People are looking at large language models and AI. People are looking at all kinds of different spaces, automated income calculation, automated underwriting, all these great things. And we're not talking about automated underwriting of just like a system of logic rules, but we're talking about actually reading documents. I mean, there's a lot of space that's going on. So what I want to say to all of the lenders that are out there right now is, anybody that's in my position or close to it, or even if you're down the food chain from there, take this time to be leaner and be more efficient, so we're stronger when the worm does actually turn. Look at every aspect of your technology process. Is there an area where technology automation can really help you in the ramp up next time? That's going to run us into the next topic that we get into in a little bit, is what's available for us in resources. But if you're looking at adding value to your individual company, look at how automation can save costs, how we can save time, how we can preserve jobs, how we can keep all the people in our industry that are here with us, that are going through this market, employed by becoming more efficient with what we're looking at. And I'm really excited to hear about what people are implementing. I've heard, we were just at the conference in Nashville, heard wonderful stories of automation and underwriting, wonderful stories of automation in income calculation and disclosures and closing. I think there's a lot of fun stuff going on right now. And make sure that you're actually looking at it in conjunction with how it helps improve efficiency at your operation.
Efficiency and expand your ability to maybe not have as many people resources when things do turn around. So doing more with...
I want to fight that statement. Maybe an opinion. When you say not have as many resources that's in there, I think of it as the exact opposite setup. I think of it as preserving every single job of every person who's made it through this time with us, so that when the worm turns, we're not doing the same thing we were doing at the beginning of 2020, which was you have a pulse, you're hired, right? And then dealing with that after.
Yeah, that is a very, very valid point. I am going to take that away from you, because that is a very, very valid point. People are running so lean right now that you want to use your people for the things that they're best at, those stare and glare or, you know, manual things that they could be doing something much harder or more valuable for their brain than doing some of those. So being able to use those resources is greatly appreciated. Mike, did you want to share?
Yeah, I just add a couple of comments. I mean, I think when things are down and you're not making as much money, it kind of goes against the grain, right? You really have to lean in, as Femi mentioned, into technology, figure out the things that are going to help you be more efficient as you move forward. And in that next cycle, when it is going to get more busy than it is today, and we know that's going to happen. I guess I would also challenge the collaborative, right? I mean, everybody gets together a couple times a year and there's just great sharing that happens. I think, Femi, you kind of threw it out there. I think the group needs to continue to share. What things are you utilizing? What things are you looking at? As you do your due diligence on a particular technology, put it out to the group of individuals that you've built relationships with through the collaborative and find out who's using it. Have you heard anything about it? Those types of things. Because it's interesting, at the National MBA conference, which is getting ready to come up, the one last year, though, there were 8 vendors in the booth, 8, which I've never seen anything like it. I looked at them this year. There's like 45 vendors, I believe, that are going to be at the National MBA this year. So if you're going, walk through there, ask questions, try to find out what that next opportunity might be to enhance what you have from a tech stack solution. And again, utilize the collaborative to find out who's using it and where you can find out the right choices to make. So
one of the great topics, Sarah just shared some information with us to remind me that one of the really interesting topics that came up at our conference in Nashville was companies using OCR bots to scan appraisals. And looking for red flags. So words like mold, water, you know, some of those items that would assist in evaluating an appraisal. We're looking for the source of that. So if anybody on this call remembers who that was that mentioned that, or if it was you, raise your hand or reach out to one of us, because we have some other people that want to talk about that technology. So that was just one of the many things that came up while we were in Nashville.
When you mentioned the challenge, the collaborative, keep it going, see what's going on. I don't have less than 8 calls or emails a week. If somebody says, hey, what are you doing in this space? What are you doing in this space? And just speaking with my peers from other places and guys that I just met in an elevator in Nashville, and get a text on a holiday, and it's okay, let's do this. And then let's run through, and we're like dipping through like different systems and whatnot. It's really fun, and it's an important piece of that. There's a couple of folks that I could share if anybody's looking for them, but I don't know if they're preferred members of the, or if they're preferred partners of the Mortgage Collaborative. So I'm not name dropping on this one as of yet.
That's great. One thing I just found this information last week, Faith, and I've asked a couple of people if they've seen it, and they hadn't. The CFPB did issue a warning last month urging lenders who use artificial intelligence in underwriting decisions to provide accurate and specific reasons when denying credit. So saying that a complex algorithm made an adverse decision is a no-go, right? So
cannot have that black box. You have to have transparency, and you have something that's going on. Absolutely. Cannot be a black box.
Yeah.
That is so true. I think we're going to see, I did happen to notice that last week when that was published as well. And I think that we are going to see more and more. Technology sometimes is meant to enhance what humans can do, not necessarily replace all of those functions. And I do think that we're going to see like a crackdown or audits happening on some of those types of things. There's every indication out there from what's been in the news that that can happen for sure. But Femi kind of like led us into like the next thing that we were going to discuss today. And of course, would love people's feedback. How many people do we have on this call? If you're under 40 years old and you're on this call, I would love for you to pop it in the chat, or you consider yourself a young professional in this industry, because what we wanted to talk about is like the experience and the age.
Can I pretend to be under 40? Well, can't bend down and touch the floor.
Physically or mentally, right?
Mentally, my wife might say I'm about 22.
Yeah. So would love to hear that. We have a young team here at TMC, so I know that some of them do fit into that category. But we began when we met earlier before this call, we were talking about all of the different kind of roles within the mortgage industry and what those look like and what those look like for our future going forward as volume increases. And we need to build our team. So, Femi, you want to start with this conversation and some of the things that we talked about?
Sure. Here's the setup. How many loan officers were there in 2006? How many loan officers made it to 2010? We all remember it was just a stark drop. It was more than a third and everything's going. Is the same thing going to happen this time around? If that's going to happen, what's the average age of your loan officer, right? I mean, when we go through this, like we were taking a look at some statistics and how you actually, or what you actually need in a new loan officer these days. And one of the things that's going to happen is we're going to have a loss of experience. And when you go back to ramp these things up, you're not always going to be able to say, hey, you know, there's just this web service portal for Consumer Direct, and that's the only way you're getting things. You're not capturing items that are on the relationship referral basis that are coming from financial investors, that are coming from divorce attorneys, that are coming from realtors, that are coming from insurance agents, that are coming from anywhere the sources where we're going to have to be trapping our customers from in the future. So something that's really interesting to us is how do we come up and how do we develop those young folks? What do we do with our technology to help augment, hey, I haven't been doing this since 85. I didn't learn how to manually calculate what's my favorite item, residual income. Like I still take a pay stub and like a slide rule, and I move backwards from the pay stub into the thing, like still calculate by hand. The loan officers that are getting into this business thing, they don't want to do that. They want to type in two buttons and they want to have an answer that's come up to them. So what do we have to do in technology to support those newer folks that are going to be coming in? And what are you going to lose with loss of experience? Once you have loss of experience, you're going to have it in the underwriting department. You're going to have it in the post-closing department. You're going to have it in auditing. You're going to have it in all of these spaces. And when you come back and say, hey, I need to replace something, they don't have, oh, we used to do this so I can fall back on. What they're going to learn is the procedures that you have now, and you're going to have to figure out how you grow with that lack of experience. So I think that's something cool. I think appraisers is the scariest spot. This, again, leads us back into the technology setup. But as of November 21, the average age of an appraiser was 61 years old. Almost 71% of them were over 51.
Isn't that crazy?
Isn't it? It's
crazy. I was in the appraisal space for over 25 years, and that number has continually gone up as an average. And that is the average.
It's scary. It's scary up there. And when you start to see these things, like you see all this, and People get afraid of new technology and they're worried about what they want to try when things come out. I remember when the SSRs came out, people were sitting there kicking and screaming and crying. Fannie and Freddie don't know what the heck they're doing. They don't know this property. They don't know this market. But years and years of that data calculation or that data capture allows them to essentially say, hey, we can move to this PDR model. We have aggregate data for the last 8 years of every real estate transaction that's taken place. We have all the sales. We can predict what our markets can do. So what they're doing is effectively trying to wade into that appraiser space, saying if you're within this valuation model, we'll just accept it and you can give us a PDR, or you can get just a straight value acceptance piece. And there's other ways where technology is going to help, is going to help the industry as we run into these individual bottlenecks, right? There's, if you're a young person right now and you're looking to say, hey, where's the best place that I have for growth? Look where there are really senior people in your organization. Grab a mentor and learn everything you can about compliance. Learn everything you can about underwriting. Because as these folks exit, as we're going to go through the winter of discontent or whatever the heck we're going to call the winter 2023, G4 with rates in the eights, and it's going to be difficult and there's going to be some brain drain. So if you're a young person right now, get attached to those senior people, get some mentorship going on, learn what's going on and see how you can help, with technology to bridge the gap on where the experience gap is going to be.
Yeah, I know that in that appraisal space too, one of the other things that I've seen a lot of just within my network of people that I've remained in contact with, almost 76% of appraisers have more than 15 years of experience in being an appraiser. And because of that, there are many of them that are kind of making the decision right now. The cycle has went on longer than what I think all of us probably thought it would. And some people are making the decision that they don't want to go through another cycle. And so they're actually retiring, and they're at an age where they could have retired a number of years ago. So I'm kind of interested too in Mike and hearing like what you're seeing with people. I mean, you're out with customers all the time. I would love to hear kind of like what you're seeing in the appraisal space with LOs, with real estate agents as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think probably the biggest thing that I think needs to be addressed is it's not easy to become an appraiser, right? I mean, you've got to get an education, you've got to have an apprenticeship, and people aren't interested in going through that process. I can go make a good living somewhere else doing something else than going through that process, which is long. And so I think that the industry needs to do something to address that. I do think LO, the average age, wasn't too long ago, probably 10 years ago, was in the mid-50s. It looked a lot like the rest of the industry, quite frankly, and it has gotten younger. I mean, I think the latest statistic that I saw was that the average age of an LO is 47. So it has gotten better. But I'll go with what Femi said. I'm super excited for the future of the industry and the opportunity for young people. I really think that if a young person gets the right guidance, I would challenge everybody on the call, right? I mean, would you put your child into the position that you're doing? I just was talking with a loan officer late last week, and she was talking about how terrible it was. And I just said, you know what? Look at the industry over the last 25 years. Go back through and find the number of years that it's been bad. It's not many. I mean, it really isn't that many. The refi booms that take us through many years, heck, you look at the last dozen years or so, it's been pretty incredible, quite frankly. So it's a great industry to get into. And if you have a young person with some drive, and as Femi said, find that mentor that you can go and learn from, get the knowledge in under your belt, so that when the next wave comes, which it will, we all know it will, you'll be ready and ready to take that opportunity. So,
yeah. And we have some comments in the chats. Ira is right there with you, Mike. At almost the exact same time that you started talking about the qualifications of being an appraiser, Ira posted that barrier to entry is extremely high. education-wise, being able to put in their hours with an appraiser who may be in their 60s and not want to train somebody. There are a lot of barriers. And then Quentin, thanks so much for the comment. So valid. Appraisers are resistant on training up their competition. They're more than likely training somebody who is going to be in the same marketplace that they are in. It's not like you get trained as an appraiser and then you move your marketplace where you know people, where you know the housing and everything. So trainees typically are family members. The appraising is a family business if you've ever been in it.
That creeps me out when you start talking about like how the technology is meeting the model problems that we have right now. There are people that are doing PDR inspections that are doing DoorDash in between. They're like, hey, I'm on my way and I'm going to a PDR. They take a couple of pictures on a phone and they're out of there. They've got GPS location on there. They've got a video. They've got a couple of pictures. They answer two questions and they're done. Meanwhile, trying to become an appraiser is, again, you have to have every certification possible after your bachelor's degree. You have to do indentured servitude or whatever the heck they call that thing, right? Like it's near impossible. So I'm on the setup of embracing the technology, and I'm hoping that, you know, we're in a position where when I'm the senior guy in the room and I get to say, I remember when we used to have to look at costs on an appraisal. And I feel like the same person who says their DE number starts with like A012. Right? They're talking about when they're doing their manual binders back in the 80s or in the late 70s on what's going on. I mean, there's going to be a point in that market where technology is just going to fill the space. And I really think things like the value acceptance and the PDRs are a big part of the wave of the future. It's going to be a challenge for those. You're always going to need appraisers. You're still going to need those people that are out there to do it, because you're going to have commercial properties that don't fit into these. You're going to have 1025s that just don't fit into these. You're going to have these unique properties that actually need to be assessed. Would you send your kids into this business? Ooh, that's a fun question. I don't know, Faith. Would you?
I would.
It's been good for the last 25 years. It's mostly been good. Since I've been in this business, it's mostly been good. When it's bad, it's really bad. But when it is flowing along pretty strong.
You just have to make sure that you plan for that and know that, you know, there's always been a cycle in real estate, and plan for that. I've got a daughter and a son-in-law heavily into technology. So I think I'm going to let them stay where they're at. But they are working on some of the exact things that we're talking about in this industry now, in other industries where they've been for a long period of time. A mortgage is a little bit behind on some of the technology things compared to other industries that are not mortgage. So appreciate you both. Time always goes by so quickly. We're over our 30-minute time frame. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. Femi, as always, it's always great to talk with you. Mike, appreciate you joining the call. Love the fact that MGIC is so ingrained and supportive in our organization and within our TMC family. So thank you for joining us today as well.
Will you put that link for Mike's marketing material into the chat for this one? I want to grab it later.
We can send it. We'll send it out with a follow-up. How about that? We'll send it out with a follow-up from this group. Perfect. Appreciate that. Thanks so much, Femi. Great idea.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. See you all.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
See you all.
For more information about how you can get involved with TMC Connect and witness the power of the network firsthand, please visit us at mortgagecollaborative.com.